Good to see everybody today. I have to admit, I'm surprised to see this many. I saw a lot of y'all down in San Antonio just yesterday, and I'm glad that each one of y'all had a safe trip back. And it's just as fine to see in San Antonio as it is here, but it's especially good to be able to see one another on the Lord's Day and to be able to worship together. Speaking of worshiping together, this is going to be Van and Janet's last worship with us for a while. We're going to be missing them. They're about to head back to South Dakota for their annual summer run. Van always has great demands upon him to get back from his employer, and I know they're looking forward to getting back. Janet has a house to put back together and one to take apart, so they've both got a lot going on, but we'll miss them. And we didn't get to send Tristan off with a proper way, but Tristan has moved to Lubbock, and we're excited for him, but we're sad that we don't have him at worship each day. But good to have he and all of you with us today. Hope that you're doing well. Good to have Nelda back with us after a long illness. It's been a long winter time for a lot of folks, but good to see each one of you. We have a number that are visiting, and we cannot tell you how glad we are to have you with us, at least not in as proper a way as we should, but please know that we are delighted to have you share the worship of the Lord with us today. I want to talk about common sense today. Common sense, I'm not sure if it's as common as it used to be, but it's a very important thing in our lives. As I was preparing this lesson, or had prepared this lesson, I came across an article this morning, just before I prepared my breakfast, and it kind of speaks to where we're starting to lose out on common sense. The headline was, "Store Sparks Fury for Holding Offensive Frying Pan Sale on Women's Day." Well, I don't know. that just kind of caught me as odd, especially since I was, as a matter of fact, I was chuckling over this as I was preparing my breakfast this morning. But it's kind of like men are sparked into fury because of tool sale held on Father's Day, or children offended that you know, Christmas stores are offering toy sales at Christmas time and stereotyping them. And I don't understand why we get to the point where we become a people who are perpetually offended by everything other than something's happened to common sense. We can't just appreciate what's going on. And we can't overlook an offense, even if somebody has made some kind of an error, faux pas, or has blundered in some way. We're not as ready to overlook it. It seems like we have become a group that is so critical of everything that we can never enjoy anything, that we're always finding fault with others. And I'm not suggesting that there's not a lot to find fault in. I look in the mirror and I can see lots to find fault in. But I hope that you don't look at me and see lots to find fault in on a regular basis, because I think if you do, you'll just be wasting a big part of your life, because some things are just beyond hope and beyond help. But what is it that allows us to always be angry all the time? What is it that allows us to read Scripture and think that somehow it doesn't apply to us? What is it that allows us to do things like driving too close to the edge of the road and thinking that we'll be okay? As a matter of fact, talking about common sense, what do these things have in common? One is driving too close to the edge of the road to see how close you can get without falling off. Another is a person, we won't mention his name, getting their finger caught in a lawnmower. Another is a drunk getting in a car and driving. Well, there are some differences in that. Driving too close to the edge of a road to see how close you can get to the falling off of a cliff, well, that's just careless or reckless. putting your fingers too close to the lawnmower blade, that's careless. Irresponsible, maybe. Being drunk is a sin. Driving drunk is a crime. But what they have in common is they all lack common sense. If you're wise, you don't do these things. You don't drive too close to the edge of a cliff. You don't stick your fingers too close to the lawnmower blade. And you don't get drunk. And if you do get drunk, you don't get in a car and drive. Common sense tells us these things. But for some reason, common sense seems to be a more and more precious commodity. It's not looked up to the way it used to. When you think about it, it was really common sense that Solomon asked for. When Solomon was told by God in a dream that he could ask for anything he wanted, Solomon asked for an understanding heart or a discerning heart. And when you think about discernment or understanding, that has a great deal to do with common sense. As a matter of fact, when you talk about wisdom and all the things that are under the umbrella of wisdom, they really are the ability to use true knowledge in the right way. We have an opportunity, we have a very great gift to read of the Word of God. True knowledge, knowledge that is flawless. But just getting that knowledge isn't enough. We have to know how to use it. When I was in math, I still remember the moans and the groans whenever there would be a word problem. And yet word problems are the reason that we do math. If somebody was to have memorized a formula and they were asked to figure out the volume of a 5-inch long cone with a 1-inch radius at the base, they might be able to do that. But if they were asked to tell how much ice cream that same cone could hold, if it was an ice cream cone, it might just throw them into a panic. We never learned this. But the reason you learn math is so that you can apply it. The reason you learn English is so that you can apply it. The reason you learn anything that's worthwhile is so that you can apply it. The reason that we get knowledge from the Word, the reason that we read it and try to glean everything we can from its pages is so that we can use it. And it's going to be wisdom that will allow you to use the knowledge. Just having the facts won't make you a good Christian. Now, you can't be a good Christian without the facts. Don't get me wrong on that. But unless you know how to use them, and unless you're willing to use the facts from these pages, you will be worthless as a servant to God. And you will also, may I add, be worthless as a citizen to any country or community that you belong to, because you won't be able to function in the way that God designed people to function in this world. We need common sense. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 3, there are two words that are offensive to most people. Ecclesiastes 10:3 says, "Even as he walks along the road, the fool lacks sense and shows everyone how stupid he is." Now, Jesus does not want us calling one another fools, and parents, and I'm sure Jesus, don't want us calling one another stupid. On an individual basis, because there's a certain element of judgment in that, especially when you identify an individual as a fool. But we have to understand there are categories that fall into foolishness that people belong who are fools. Now, I don't call somebody a fool because that indicates I've decided whether they're going to heaven or hell. And that's what Jesus is getting at when he says, don't call one another a fool, or anyone who says you fool will be in danger of judgment. And we don't want to call one another stupid either because of all the connotations that has. But we need to understand that we can be a fool and we can be stupid. Let me read this again. Even as he walks along the road, the fool lacks sense and shows everyone how stupid he is. Have you ever seen somebody walking along or somebody who is complaining about always being hassled by the police? And they may have spiked hair, and it may be different colors, and they may have piercings everywhere, and a tattoo that says, "I heart marijuana," or something like that. And they wonder, why is everyone always picking on me? This isn't right. But it's because so often stupid people will identify themselves. And a cop knows that if he sees somebody like that, there's likely something going on there. And so Bill shakes his head yes, and Ryan shakes his head yes, and everybody else who's anything to do with that. Common sense is one of those things that if we don't have it, people see it. Even as he walks along the road, the fool lacks sense and shows everyone how stupid he is. One of the reasons that we as Christians need to use wisdom, discernment, understanding, common sense, is because when you and I don't, it's readily seen and it brings dishonor on Christ and on the church. I'm not talking about just being silly sometimes. As a matter of fact, I hope you are silly sometimes. I hope you enjoy life enough to where you can laugh at yourself sometimes. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this continual living in such a way that you don't have common sense. Job chapter 39 and verse 13 says, "The wings of the ostrich flap joyfully. She lays her eggs on the ground and lets them warm in the sand, unmindful that a foot may crush them, that some wild animal may trample them. She treats her young harshly, as if they were not hers. She cares not that her labor was in vain, for God did not endow her with the wisdom or give her a share of good sense." Now, when we see an ostrich wandering around with its young at risk because it's not taking care of it and flapping its wings joyfully, that's one thing. But when we see a parent at Walmart running around flapping its wings joyfully, not caring that their children are at risk, there's something wrong with that, because God did endow us with a share of good sense. The question is, are we developing it and are we using it? Common sense demands that we do that, and we cannot serve God well without common sense. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 30, there's a long passage here on all that Israel is to do, but as you look at it, you can see how well it corresponds to how every servant of God needs to act. In Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 11, after God has given all these instructions to the nation of Israel through Moses, and Moses is about to die, he says this, "Now what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It's not up in heaven so that you have to ask who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it. Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth, it is in your heart, so that you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you're entering to possess." Common sense says if we will really search out the things of God, and it's not too hard to figure out, that we're going to do really well. But common sense should also scream out, if you don't, you're going to suffer for it. A lot of people think they can pick and choose what they want to do when it comes to serving God or when it comes to His Word, and we can't do that. Anybody who's ever signed a contract understands that they have to meet every stipulation in that contract that's their responsibility in order for them to gain the benefits from the other person and get all the stipulations that they're under. If either one of them violates it, then the contract is null and void. We understand that even though contracts are sometimes kind of difficult. We understand the principles of it. The Word of God is difficult. That's not what Moses is saying here, what God is saying through Moses. He's not saying that the Word of God is not difficult. He's saying it's not too difficult. It's not so hard that somebody's got to cross the sea or climb a mountain and bring it back to you. You can understand it. Let me point this out. Is it too difficult for us to understand that if God were to withdraw His breath right now, that we would cease to be? That the only reason that we are here is because God created us and put us here. That the only reason that we have an opportunity to enjoy the things we enjoy is because God loves us. Why is it then that we who have this knowledge that God really did put us here don't always make the connection then between using that knowledge, He's my Creator, and taking it to the point where we realize, therefore, I must serve Him in His way? Common sense screams that out, but so often we don't have the common sense to accept it. We become like those people who are offended that they're having a frying pan sale on their day, whatever their day is. That doesn't make any sense. But so often we're offended at the commands of God. What do you mean I can't live with this person? What do you mean I can't consume this product? What do you mean I have to be there on the first day of every week? What do you mean I have to worship in this way? What do you mean I can't use this kind of language? People are genuinely offended at the rules that God has set before them. But if they just use the common sense, their common sense that God gave them, and realize, God put me here. I'm just here for Him. And He's allowing me to really enjoy, not just to exist, but really enjoy a life and to really look forward to an eternity that is filled with incredible things that are just beyond anything we could rightfully expect. But we go from understanding that God created us to thinking that somehow God owes us some sort of an explanation, or that somehow God could be wrong. We talked about the different things that lack common sense, but how about in the religious world? What do these things have in common? Musical instruments in worship, women teaching and taking positions of authority in worship, treating others in an unkind way, the believer's prayer of faith in lieu of baptism, living in sin, sexual immorality. Well, the things that these have in common is they also lack common sense because they go outside of God's commands. We talked about it in Bible class this morning. I like musical instruments. I enjoy them. I can see, for example, that in our song service, that if we had musical instruments, we could have the tune given to us. And if it was a new song, we could kind of follow along better. I can see the beauty of the musical, of the music itself. But God gave us no command to use musical instruments in our worship. As a matter of fact, He did give us the command, do not go beyond what's written. He gave us the command to sing. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. All through the Old Testament, he talked about musical instruments. He commanded them to use musical instruments. In the few glimpses we have of heaven, we hear of musical instruments being used there. But in the church, the New Testament church, they were never used. They were never hinted at. The reason we don't use it is, why would we want to take a chance? I don't spend a lot of my time worrying about what the people down the street or in other communities are doing. They'll answer to God before that. He'll call them into account if He wishes to. But the reason that we don't is, does not common sense dictate why would you take a chance with your eternity? Is it that big of a deal to you that you're willing to risk eternity, that you would add something that's not commanded? And as far as the women taking part in having authority, could we not all agree that we have many women here who could present probably in a much more articulate way a lesson that was intelligently put together and fresh than I do each week? And yet the scriptures say a woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man. She must be silent. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. This is a command from God. He's not saying that women are inferior by any stretch of the imagination, but I think this may be part of the test. Will you do things my way, or will you insist on doing it your own way because you don't see why God commanded this in this way. How about the idea of treating others in unkind ways? Husbands dealing with their wives harshly and thinking that they have that right. Wives treating their husbands in an unloving way because they think they have that right. Treating people in a way that are complete strangers in traffic because you're anonymous. All these things that we do, and yet Jesus said in Matthew 5:43, you've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. How many of us feel very, very comfortable saying hateful things about those that we don't like? And then as far as this idea of substituting God's plan of salvation for one of our own choosing, Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20 say, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. There's nothing in here about making disciples by having them utter a believer's prayer of faith. There's no such thing as a believer's prayer of faith. You won't find it in the Scriptures. And yet many, many people prefer that as their chosen way of salvation. Does not common sense say that you cannot change God's laws and expect to have good happen from it? You think we can go before God on Judgment Day and Him ask us, why did you disobey me? And us say, because I thought I was smarter than you? And Him say, oh, okay, you're right, come on in. Common sense dictates that would never happen. And as far as the promiscuous way in which people live, 1 Corinthians 6:9, do you not realize that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? That means they're going to hell. He says, do you not realize this? Do not be deceived. And he says that, I'm convinced, because we are deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders will inherit the kingdom of God. Why do we think we can do these things and God will just have to accept us? And I want to say again, the thing that all these things have in common is they lack common sense. Because somehow we think that we can take God's laws and change them and that God will just say, okay, even though you said you did something that I told you not to do, I'm going to give you a reward anyway. And yet somewhere in our convoluted minds, we think that He will. The reason that common sense is so important, the reason that discernment is so important, that understanding is so important, is because it will be these things that allow us to serve our God in the way that He wants us to serve Him. It will allow us to take the knowledge from the pages of the Word of God and actually live it in such a way that we're pleasing in His sight. May I end with one more passage? The passage is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34. And it simply says, and I realize I'm reading this, plucking it out of a context, so feel free to read the entire context and see if this isn't used well. But it says, 1 Corinthians 15:34, come back to your senses as you ought. Stop sinning. For there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. If we're not using common sense when it comes to our service to God, we need to come to our senses. As a matter of fact, can we not all say, if we're honest in our own assessment of our own selves, that there's a lot of things that we could probably come back to our senses on? It does begin with knowledge, but we have to use the common sense that God gave us to be able to apply that knowledge. And we have to develop it into a wisdom that becomes something that is fruitful in its service. I want to offer the invitation this morning. It may be that you're ready to become a Christian today. If you are, we'd love to hear your confession of your belief that Jesus is Lord, that He's the Son of God. You'll repent of your sins privately. But we'll baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit today if you're ready to do that. And if you need the prayers of the congregation or if we can help you in any other way, won't you come while we stand and sing?